Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners today. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Dare we allow for differences in the Christian church? Or must we all think alike to be one in Christ? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have established your church on this earth. And you have said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank you today, O God, for the unity that we have, that when one confesses faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he is a part of that church. And so today we also return our thanks to you that when a person serves the Lord, he uses his own personality and his own talents. So, Lord, we pray that we may recognize that while we are one in Christ Jesus, there can be differences among us. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations, all that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, parents often tell us that they have several children, but no two are alike. They differ in so many ways. Some of them are academically very gifted, and others have to work hard at schoolwork. Some of them are socially inclined. They're extroverts. They love a party. And others are introverts. They would just as soon be alone. Some of them are physically strong, and others are quite fragile. When you listen to the parents describe their families, it's always interesting, at least to me, to see that here are boys and girls who have the same parents, raised in the same environment, and yet they are different. Sometimes parents do not always allow for differences in temperament among their children, and it causes discord in the family. For example, here is Bob. His mother says to him, "Why don't you study hard like Mary does?" Bob perhaps is very obedient and says nothing. But inside he probably is saying, "Mother, you want the answer? Because I'm Bob and I'm not Mary. And I could ask you, why is Mary always sick? And I never miss a day of school." In other words, the mother or the father, perhaps at this particular point, is not letting Bob be Bob and Mary be Mary. In other words, they kind of like to mold their children into some kind of an ideal that they have built in their own thought process. Teachers are sometimes guilty of this too. I have heard several people say, it's kind of hard to be the last kid in the family. You know, when you go into the classroom and your brother or your sister have had this same teacher years before you, you hear something like this, "Oh, I'm so happy to have you." Your brother and sister were such excellent students, and I'm sure you'll be the same. Problem is that the younger one is not necessarily like the brother and the sister. And yet the teacher is feeling that because they come from the same family, have that marvelous background, that they're all going to be the same. Not necessarily so. Today in our text, we meet two women from the same family who were opposites. William Barclay, the great biblical commentator, has said, "These two sisters demonstrate a clash of temperaments. We have never allowed enough for the place of temperament in Christianity." And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. I'd like to take this emphasis in this great text that God has given to us. And the reason I take it is that I find this to be so true in my own life. I want to kind of put everybody in the same mold. Now, therefore, I have taken these two sisters and put them on my spiritual board of directors to help me during the course of the year, to remind me that God is a place for all of us. And when we have confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we are one, though we may not serve him in exactly the same way. And woe be unto us when we think that everybody has got to do the serving according to the ideals that we have set forth in our own little minds. Well, let's go to Bethany, where Mary and Martha lived. They had a brother, Lazarus, but Lazarus is not mentioned in our text today, so we'll omit him. The setting was that Jesus was on his way to the cross to suffer and to die for the sins of the world, and he came into that little town of Bethany, not far away from Jerusalem. When he was in Bethany, he loved to go into the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was one of his favorite places to relax. On this particular day, there was a tremendous amount of tension in the soul of our Lord. For to face that cross, bearing the sins of the world, was not an easy assignment. So he sat there in that home, and when Martha saw him, she thought, "We've got to feed him." So out into the kitchen she went to begin the preparation of the meal. The Bible doesn't say this, but I kind of like to think just what could have been happening. I wonder if Martha, though she did not do it, would not love to have gone out into that little town and said, "The Master is here. Let us all get together and really rejoice with him." But that wasn't the kind of a reception Jesus wanted on this particular occasion. His soul was heavy, heavy unto death. And I believe that William Barclay again is right when he says, what Jesus really wanted was that it could be quiet. All he wanted to do was just to sit in the quietness of that home and tell them what was on his heart and share with them once again the blessed truths that he went there to suffer and die that the world might be saved if they would come to faith in him. Now when Mary sat there, and that's where Mary was, right at the feet of Jesus, listening to him exactly what our Lord wanted, Sister Martha was irritated. You see, she wanted Mary to be exactly like she was, to rush out into the kitchen and to really prepare the meal. She got so irritated that she came in and made a request of Jesus, which must have been very awkward. "Jesus, tell my sister to come out in the kitchen and help me." You see, that's exactly what sometimes we want to do with people in the Christian faith. Let them express their faith in exactly the same way that I do. Let them believe every detail of the faith, though some of those details are unknown, the answers. We have to wait until we get to heaven to find out exactly what the interpretation is of this verse. But when we find that we have our oneness in Christ, that should be enough. But not so with Martha, and not always so with some of us. So she said, "Get her out here." But to her surprise, our Lord Jesus Christ said, these immortal words, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." That's just the way it is. And so the night went on, and we do not know any more about that visit to Bethany. But it wasn't the last time, I'm sure, that Jesus saw Mary and Martha. You see, the Bible tells us that after he had been crucified and raised and was about to ascend into heaven, there were 120 disciples, and they were right in and around Jerusalem. He had told them to stay there. There were 40 days. During the course of those 40 days, Jesus had come and had spoken to them on a different occasion. He told them about the kingdom of God. And then on that one particular day, the day of his ascension, he had them around him. And there were Mary and Martha, I believe, in the crowd. I believe they were there. Now, this was not a personal conversation, just to the two of them as it had been in their home in Bethany. But as he spoke to the crowd, he said, "Now for 3 years you have sat at my feet, you have listened to what I have taught. And now it comes that glorious day when I shall go to my Father. But you are to go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now is the time to move on." And that could have been a word for Martha. You see, Jesus loved Martha as much as Mary. But one time he needed the personality of a Mary who would sit at his feet and listen to him. And then there was another time when he needed the personality of a Martha who would move on. And it just could be that as Mary that day had to say to her sister Martha, "Quiet down, Martha." Now Martha might have had to say to Mary, "Come on, Mary, let's get going. For the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who has now suffered and died for our salvation, has told us to go and share that gospel of Jesus Christ with the people of the world." You see, the temperament of Mary served Martha, and the temperament of Martha could have well served Mary. With our different gifts and personalities, we serve God and one another in the building of the kingdom and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. We have to allow for different kinds of Christian expression. And while I have trouble with that, I now see that I need to have the counsel of Mary and Martha on my board of directors. Our personalities and our experiences in the Christian faith are entirely different. Let's just take a look at a few of these differences that we might experience while we are here. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are Christian. But we have not all come into the Christian faith in the same way. When I was only a few days old, my father and mother brought me to the baptismal font. And there God entered into a covenant relationship with me. And then my parents were told, "Take that child home and introduce him to Jesus Christ." And they did just that. For years and years and years, until I was a grown man, they took that commission very seriously. Even when I was a preacher and my father and mother used to sit under the pulpit, it was not seldom that my father said to me, "Don't you think you could have been just a little bit stronger on this point? Did the way of salvation really ring clearly in your sermon today?" He was continually introducing me to Jesus Christ, not only when I was a babe, but when I was a grown person. Now, I have always known the Lord Jesus. I can never remember a day in my life when I did not confess him as my Savior and my Lord. There are other people who have different experiences. Some of them may not receive Jesus Christ until they're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, or whatever it might be. And when suddenly they come face to face with Jesus Christ and see what Christ has done for them, it can at times be rather emotional. They can sometimes say, I don't understand why you really didn't tell me more about Jesus when I was outside of him and lost. And I would say to that person, you know, I've told you that same old story again and again. But after his conversion, he saw the whole thing differently. Now he becomes very vocal. Sometimes he becomes very emotional. And then I had the thought, well, perhaps this fellow is getting out of hands just a little bit. As someone has said, if they become too emotional, just let them stay in the church for a few years and it will all be taken out of them. They know what it is to live before Christ and they know what it is to live after Christ. Their expression, their way of serving the Lord can be entirely different from those of us who have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ all of our days. I recall a classmate that I had at the seminary many years ago. He was a jovial person, but you could see that he did not want to really be at the seminary. I'm sure that he felt that this was not the place for him. But years ago, his father, who now had been deceased for a while, had asked that young man to promise him that he would go to the seminary, become an ordained servant in the church, and probably even go on to the mission field. This is not what he wanted. He did not feel that he was called to that at all. He knew that he was called to serve the Lord Jesus. And finally, one day, he left. He went over to the university and began to do graduate work in business. And he got a degree in an MBA, a Master of Business Education. Took it back and used it in the church. Became a very, very prominent layman. Served the Lord Jesus in so many different ways. Was vocal about his faith. And wanted to make sure that the church remained very close to the fundamental teachings that it confessed. One day, many years after that had happened, an old professor was on our staff here at Nazareth Church in Cedar Falls. And I said to him, can you tell me whatever happened to that man? He said, yes, I can now. He said, we found out that this man had promised his father that he would be a pastor in the church. But the pastor, this man came and told one of the faculty members that that was not for him. And so some of the members of the faculty got together. They had a meeting with him. They had a little service in which they relieved him in the name of the triune God from studying for the ordained ministry. The young man was relieved of all of this. And now before God, he could go forth and use his own personalities and his gifts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are so prone, even as parents, as teachers and preachers and friends in the church, to try to put everybody in the same mold. That's why I need the sisters, Mary and Martha, on my spiritual cabinet. When I become critical of others who might not be what I believe they should be in their Christian witness, I need the sisters to say, look at here. See how different we were, and yet Jesus had a place for us in his kingdom, and he used both of us. Mary and Martha are members of my board of directors, and they help me daily. Amen.
Have thine own way.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the diversity of personalities and talents in your church. We pray today that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to show us where we can best serve you. And then we pray that we may be faithful in doing just that. Today we pray for those who are sick, shut in. O God, we ask that your hand of healing rest upon them, if it be within your will. We pray, O God, for those who are in homes for the aged, or even in their own home, where the body is worn out, and they wait for that day when you will call them to their heavenly home. It's not an easy time for them, Lord, you know that. And so we pray that you will strengthen them in their faith and use your church and all of its members to be their ministers. Lord, hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the Word of God will guide you in your decisions. And we thank each of you for your faithful prayers and financial gifts. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call between Monday and Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and on our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.